This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I do owe Browns fan an apology.
Wow, Daryl. This is the first recorded apology in the history of Daryl Ryder.
I failed to recognize the second place finish in 2023. They did finish in second place in 2023. So that is one time in the last decade. They also... most teams hang divisional championship banners. They hang wild card banners. They hang conference championship banners. They hang Super Bowl banners. The Browns are so incompetent as a franchise and such a bunch of Charlie Brown losers as a franchise, they should hang second place banners. They'd have three of them in the expansion era. 2023, 2027, and 2002. Maybe they should hang some third place banners. They'd really fill up the Ring of Honor with those. They'd have six of those. And then, you know what? If you really, really wanted to go overboard with the decorating
like
down in Huntington
deal?
Bank Field, no. How about let's honor the last place finishes? You'd have 15 fourth place finishes and 2 6th place finishes. Those are the real championships of these expansion Cleveland Browns as they're in their golden era under Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, having lost 44 games while winning 40. The best this franchise has been since Marty Schottenheimer in the late 1980s. My bad. Second place, here we come.
Under this logic, though, Daryl, they just get a banner every year.
Right.
That's a lot of banners.
That's a lot.
It's a big stadium.
I don't know.
Well, you know what?
Eventually, you'd run out of space.
Speaking of banners, give the Cavs a lot of credit. Every time they used to want to hang a banner, they'd retire a jersey. Well, now, what do you know? They win the division. They win the conference. They win NBA championships. See, that's how it's done, Cleveland Browns.
You know, they have the... They got Joe Thomas's number.
Yeah. The Ring of Honor.
And they got the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
They should just throw a bunch of names on there over the next few years because they're moving anyway.
They've already done that. It's called the Browns Legends Club.
Okay, it's Christian Kirksey in the Browns Legends Club.
Yes, he is.
Who they made sure to give a nice tribute to at the end of this season. Daryl, that didn't seem genuine. I'm going to be honest. My sarcasm meter went off. The detection went off.
I'm just saying.
It just didn't seem that genuine, and... I think if somebody's asking for a nice apology and that's what they get, I don't know if they're going to feel good.
Hang the banner for 2023, 2007, and 2002. Finished in second place. That's as high as we go.
216-474-0092. I said I'm out on the Matt Stafford shortcut and deferring the pain. I don't think we can defer the pain anymore. I want the pain now. Give me the pain as much. I'm sadistic. Just give it to me now. Daryl, I think you agree.
When it comes to Matt Stafford?
I'm allowing facts to get in the way of a good story. That's my problem with this whole Matthew Stafford thing. I can't even contemplate making the transaction because I just see anything happens. I don't see how it can happen from a financial standpoint. I don't see how it can happen from a cap standpoint.
What if the cap bros are right and they manipulate the cap
to
the nth degree? Then you would. You would bring in Matt Stafford and push the pain into the future even more.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take Matthew Stafford here in a heartbeat, and I have done what I always do every year. I have talked myself into Kirk Cousins. Because those are the best of the worst that's available this offseason.
Well, hold on. You might not be alone. Ryan in Columbia Station. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. I'm against the Matt Stafford thing. It just, there's too many factors of why it won't work out. I've been kind of a Kirk Cousins defender for the last few years. You look at his stats from Minnesota. I mean, he threw for over 4,000 yards every season except the season he was injured and then one other season. His quarterback rating was like right around 102, I'm pretty sure, for the average. I mean, the guy's put down some decent stats, and I think he gets a lot of hate from people for not a lot of reasons. I'm not a Minnesota fan. I'm not sticking up for, you know, a player that I love. I just think he's a good, solid quarterback. I don't know what happened in Atlanta. But my question to you guys is, why is he available from Atlanta? If they just signed him, why would he be already moving, or why would they be moving on from him already?
All right, thank you, Ryan. Well, but part of it is they drafted a quarterback. They're doing what we are going to do, right? If we 100%. Go that Kirk Cousins route, we're probably going to draft a quarterback either at the start of the second round, or maybe they trade up at the end of the first round.
He also throws interceptions as frequently as Jameis Winston does. I mean, 18 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
Oh, those were his numbers last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's had good seasons. I don't want to make it sound like...
Yeah, I mean, in 2023, he had 18 touchdowns, 5 picks. In 2022 with Minnesota, 29-14. His best season, or one of his best seasons, I should say, was in 2021, 33-7.
Mm-hmm.
That's a phenomenal ratio. The year before that, in 2020, 35-13. With Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota... I'm just going to combine them. 2018, 2019, 56 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. But keep in mind, that's like, what, 5 years ago?
He's also saying that also what led to his benching was the shoulder and the elbow injury. And so, again, these quarterbacks, just the more years, I mean, they all can't be Tom Brady. I mean, they are going to, especially when they lose some of their elusiveness, you know, whether it's in the pocket, obviously Kirk Cousins is going to be a total pocket guy. You know, Aaron Rodgers couldn't move last year. Stafford could move around a little bit, but he's always been a pocket guy. Rodgers had no wheels left. He once a play broke down, once a tackle got beat, that was the end of the play.
Right. What's the one thing that's undefeated in sports?
Well, I have one term that I learned from my good buddy Zach Jackson I can't use. But yes, the other is age.
Yeah.
The other is age.
That's it.
216-474-0092. So, have you seen the speculation? More teams, potentially one in particular, moving up as much as they can in the draft to land Shador Sanders?
I have seen a lot of speculation about teams wanting to overdraft Shador Sanders, and I'm all for it as long as you're not the Cleveland Browns. I will gladly take 2026 first-round picks off the hands of any franchise that would like to come up and get Shador Sanders from the Cleveland Browns.
All right, well, here is one rumor that's out there. ESPN's Jordan Renan, multiple league insiders are convinced the Giants have their sights on Sanders, but that would not necessarily keep the team from targeting a more experienced option at the position. The Giants had Super Bowl-winning quarterback Kurt Warner as the starter when they drafted Eli Manning with the number one pick.
Well, I've been saying for weeks that the two teams to watch for in the Shador Sanders sweepstakes are the New York Giants at 3 and the Las Vegas Raiders at 6. Mm. Those are the two teams that I would have no problem with the Browns making a trade with, provided that you get their 2026 first-round pick along with swapping the pick this year in that deal, okay? Because that then gives you multiple first-round picks in your...
College holds a mythic place in American culture.
But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pocket next year so that you don't have to fail your way into a top two pick. You then have the assets to move up. Because my thought process is, I'll give you two first rounders next year, and then I'll give you the 2027 first rounder too. And if you want some mid-round picks in there, do some pick swaps, that's fine as well, so that you can get up into the top two and get your quarterback of choice next year. Because I am banking, Lima. I will not be bullied by you. I will not be bullied by Ken Carmen. I will not be bullied by Jonathan Peterlin. I will not be bullied by Baskin and Phelps. Jake Volnick's not going to bully me to either one of these quarterbacks. Not going to have. And you know what? I'm not going to be guilted into it either.
Yeah, leave the Ken Carmen bullying. Leave that to Mitch. He can worry about that. You're not going to be bullied by Ken Carmen anytime soon. I'm just reading this Bleacher Report story. Another reason New York can't put all its eggs in the Sanders basket is that may not be available when it's on the clock with the number three pick, the Titans and the Browns. Ahead of the Giants, both could plausibly select the buff star. Now, we've talked a lot about Shador Sanders. Trevor Sikkema was talking a lot about Shador Sanders. He, of PFF fame, was on with a Baskin and Phelps yesterday, and he was not as sold on having Shador Sanders up there at number two overall.
I think that he has a really high floor as a prospect. I think that he understands the game very well. I think he understands how to read defenses already. He understands how to play the position of quarterback at a very high level, as you would expect with somebody who's grown up around the game. But I'm worried about the overall arm talent and the lack of mobility. I really am. He's not somebody who brings a lot of athleticism to the position. He's just not a mobile guy. He'll hold on to the ball a little bit too long. He doesn't have that escapability at the college level, and it only gets worse at the NFL level. Then you go to the arm talent. I think the arm talent is adequate, but I'm not drafting a guy with adequate arm talent at number two overall. I think that he can be a very solid, you know, ranked 12 to 24 type of a quarterback in this league year in and year out. I think he can be one of those mid-tier starters, but I just don't think that he's got the arm talent to match up against these alien quarterbacks that you have to beat to win a Super Bowl. There's just too many more talented quarterbacks in this league for me to draft what I believe is more of just an adequate arm talent player in Shador Sanders in the top three.
All right, Trevor Sikkema, who you've heard on this station a lot in the lead up to the draft, you'll hear more. So he says, you know, the physical attributes aren't there. Now, I will say,
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, Bryce Young's arm talent was in question, was it not? His arm strength?
Yeah.
Well, I should say was in question. And he went where in the draft?
Yeah, I think there Number are one. Some legitimate questions about arm strength with Shador. But that's like the biggest question with him is the arm talent aspect of it. Decision-making, not worried about that. Football pedigree, not worried about that, right? Decision-making, I think he made some fairly sound decisions based on what I watched during last college season. His offensive line wasn't all that great, so it's really hard to evaluate like some of the instinctual stuff when you're under siege all the time. But the number one issue that I have seen, and you've got to have arm talent in Cleveland. You just have to. With the weather we have here, you have to be able to push the football. And that is my biggest concern. Now, if your offense is going to be that quick slant, short, you know, three-step drop, ball is out, then I think Shador Sanders is perfect. And that's why you're seeing folks tie him to the Browns, because Kevin Stefanski is very big on timing routes. But that's all well and good, Lima, but also Stefanski likes to push the ball down the field. That's the number one concern that I have about Shador Sanders, is his ability to push the ball deep down the field with accuracy. And you got to be able to do that here. I mean, it's you're not playing in Miami where it's sunny and 75 every week. The weather here is, I mean, remember when Baker came out, right? Those are questions they're asked. Can he play in these, you know, sloppy conditions? When they traded for Deshaun Watson, hey, you're leaving a dome in Houston to come up here in Cleveland, right? Well, I think we have our answer with Deshaun. But those are things that you have to consider in this. Operationally, I think Shedeur Sanders would fit within Kevin Stefanski's system, assuming Kevin Stefanski's allowed to run his system.
See, you know the name I keep coming back to, even though they're not the exact same type of player, but their profile coming out, at least where the pundits have them, is Bo Nix. And I do wonder, if you ask the average Browns fan, would they take Bo Nix at number two overall? He did go to the playoffs last year with Sean Payton. I still think most fans say no. Oh, am I off on that?
No, he not only went there with Sean Payton on calling the offense, but their defense was, you know, one of the top defenses.
Yeah, they
had the defensive player of the year.
The Broncos got to the playoffs.
Another guy that was up for defensive player
of the year. And it's not like the Browns don't have Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett as well, but...
Now, Bo Nix was 29 touchdowns, 12 picks. You'd probably take that from a rookie quarterback.
Of course.
But just his, like, what is his ceiling? And I know we do get trapped in talking about ceilings
well,
on a lot of these players.
Well, that reminds me so much of Baker Mayfield as a rookie, too. And they were, you know, they were two or three outcomes away from being a playoff team as well when Baker Mayfield was a rookie.
Maybe had they have gone to him earlier, right? So there, I bring up Bo Nix because I keep hearing that's in the realm of where they had Shedeur Sanders as a prospect, where they have him now, where they had Bo Nix. Now, if you redrafted, you know, it'd be interesting. Would all the quarterbacks just go top? You know, Drake May, you know, Caleb Williams might go third, right?
Right.
Because you still are betting on his talent.
Yeah.
He still has more talent. Right, quote unquote, than Bo Nix.
Right. You're a year removed away from having the top defense in the NFL here in Cleveland. So I kind of disagree with fans that wouldn't want Bo Nix. He's better than anything the Browns have had.
Hold on to that for a sec. Eric and Akron, that's interesting. Getting into the mind of Daryl. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
So I got a question. If we draft whoever, I don't really care what quarterback it is, whether it's Ward or Sanders or maybe somebody next year, and they end up being, say, a 5-10 quarterback in the league, right? They're on the cusp, but they're not quite Patty Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. Do we just keep drafting quarterbacks? Do we throw that guy out too? Like, I guess is not elite good enough? Because I think the idea of we have to have the top-tier quarterback is unsustainable. We're just going to keep drafting quarterbacks until we finally get that, and we don't know when that's going to be.
But look at the quarterbacks in the AFC right now. You have to look at the comparison there, and if you're not a top-tier quarterback,
Thank you, Eric. You're
sixth or seventh at best.
Yeah, and you know, you're in the neighborhood. Are you still behind Herbert?
Probably. You're behind Patrick Mahomes, you're behind Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Herbert. Now I'm six deep now, right?
You didn't put CJ Stroud in there.
Right. I mean that's
Drake May.
That's just the reality.
You laughed, but they love Drake May. They think he is franchise quarterback material in New England.
Now they have a coach that they think could take him there.
If you want to win a Super Bowl, you better have an elite quarterback.
This is why I'm taking the pain now. I want to get back to that. 216.
Well, it's February 25th, Anthony. I don't know if I can take the pain on February 25th.
216-474.
Better than taking it during the season.